Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Let me just, I guess, kind of fill you in on the anniversary services that was going to happen last week, but kind of a curveball took place last week, and the anniversary series won't be together. I'll try to put that together this week. So if you're waiting for that anniversary deal, I really am excited about, I'll be talking about the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, the 26th, all of those services. I'm going to do an intro to the speaker, and then when that speaker's done, I'm going to talk on the tape as well, or on the CD, and then probably add a separate at the very end of how I see it all fitting together, because I really do believe God spoke to us as a body of believers. How many of you believe that? I really do. With that in mind, I know there's the pressure. I had a couple people send me an email and say, boy, with not working for a month, I can't wait for you to speak for the first time because I'm sure it's going to just be a barn burner. And my heart rate rose and I started sweating and thinking, oh my gosh, here we go. Here's the pressure. But I have to just tell you guys, I've been walking in the last probably 10 days. I'm just shell-shocked. My brother passed away, and it was unexpected, and he was my big brother, and we were as close as growing up, we were as close as probably two brothers could be. It was always a joke in our little town and our family that if you wanted to know where my brother Larry was, look for Lynn, and if you wanted to know where Lynn was, look for Larry. He was 4 years older than I am. And typically, I guess, sometimes with brothers that, you know, don't want a little brother hanging around, but my brother was never like that. We started in ministry together. There's things that I keep with me still to this day that my brother, as a teenager, we started traveling when I was 12 and he was 16. And how many of you remember Full Gospel Businessmen? There's an organization you don't hear very much of every day, but we kind of traveled throughout the Midwest. We sang, and we played guitars together, and my brother had a beautiful voice, and then he started speaking a little bit in some of our deals that we did, and I learned a lot from my brother, even as he was a teenager and I was a teenager, but there was such a heart for God that we both had together, and so I just have to tell you, I've just been shell-shocked. I still can't believe it. I still can't believe that my brother's dead. And so it's been I was all excited after our last special speaker, and then I got a phone call on Wednesday from my sister-in-law, and my brother was in the emergency room, and something was just happening horrible, and I asked her to put the phone to my brother's ear, and my last words to my brother was, I love you. And he went into a coma, never came out, and we had to make the horrible decision of removing life support, and I was with my brother on his last breath, and, you know, I always felt like I probably would do my brother's funeral because he was older than I am. Younger people bury older people, right? And I figured I'd be in my 80s. And so, you know, I wrote just a ton of stuff. So I just thank this body of believers. I think Jeremy Carpenter brought a great word. I went to church online. It's just my brother passed away Friday night. And I went away on Sunday morning. I just went away to a little coffee shop where no one was there and stuck my headphones in and watched the service with you. Just totally shell-shocked. Just couldn't believe that all of this stuff had happened. And anyhow, I thank then Pastor Josh for filling in on how many of you are here Wednesday night. I looked at my text and I text Josh. I said, hey, Josh, I need you to speak Wednesday night. And I looked at my text and that spell checker stuff. His text was, hey, Joan, I need you to speak tonight. So, yeah, thank God for the church family. Amen. So I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of in a spot that I want to talk about some stuff that I know a lot of people are expecting for me to come out with, on my first time back, they're expecting me to come out with, I've had emails of, boy, I can't wait for the new vision. And there's not a new vision. Okay? We're still going to keep doing what we've done. Obviously, we're going to try to refine and whatever, but I'm going to talk to you today about, and just give you a little insight into my life, because bad things happen when you don't expect it. And I have to tell you, I was with my brother the entire time, and the last 30 minutes, his heart just gave out, and his heart rate went from 116, 20 seconds later, to 115, 20 seconds later, to 114. Did that all the way to zero. When you're laying there, or when you're in there, the feelings of hopelessness just overwhelm you, that there's nothing you can do, as his life literally just drains out of him. And that's a tough one. I told my wife that I've relived that moment at least 1,000 times. And all the feelings of you can't do anything about it come right there. And yes, I understand. Well, we know that he's in heaven. That's great. And he is, and I'm thankful for that. But how many of you know that this doesn't wipe away the hurt? Do you know what I'm saying? And so anyhow, if you don't mind today, I'm going to talk about how you deal with difficult times. Because I think we've all either dealt with them or will. And I'm really going to try my best not to cry. I hate to cry in public. Sorry. Matthew chapter 7. Let's go there. My brother loved the Lord. And we'd been praying. He had gotten cancer earlier in the year, or last year, end of last year, sort of. In December, he had surgery, had chemotherapy and radiation. They declared him cancer-free. And so we were excited. He and I together had made some plans together. We both were born with a fishing pole in one hand and a gun in the other hand. And we loved the outdoors, and we had made plans to do a couple bucket list stuff before. We were excited about it. We'd talk about it. We had planned a turkey hunting trip to Oklahoma. We planned a bear hunting trip to Washington. And we had planned a fishing trip to Alaska. And so we were excited. We were excited about the things of God. And of course, that's all changed. And, you know, he wouldn't come back. If he could, he wouldn't. Amen. Because I think once your faith has been made manifest into sight, I just think it does something, you know, and I know that. But anyhow, let's read here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. So next week, maybe we'll be able to get the barn burner. Is that okay? Today it might not burn dry weeds. I don't know. But hopefully it'll help us, because you know what? We all experience difficult times. Whoever hears, did I tell you the verse? Verse 24, Matthew 7. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But you, be watchful in all things. Everybody say all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. One other scripture, and then we'll stop and comment for a moment. Psalms 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I like the next part. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. So difficult things happen to us in life. Unexpected things happen to us in life. Things that we make plans to do certain things, and sometimes events happen that just kiboshes those plans, changes them, alters them, sometimes irreparably. And we have to ask ourselves as Christians, where are we in the middle of all of this? I couldn't sing any of the songs this morning, I'll just be real honest with you. As I started to sing, I could hum. But as I started to sing, there were some of the phrases and some of the words that hit you and for me became very, very precious. And one of the things that I would encourage you, if you're taking notes this morning, there are a couple things that have to be put in place to, I think, make it through successfully difficult times. The first one is we have to determine whether God is good or he's not. And we have to have a determination on that just is unshakable, right? And I believe God is good. How about you? Okay. So with that, if we believe that God is good, then many times we're faced with, but, right? We're faced with when we say, well, God is good, it's easy to say that and adhere to it and believe it when everything else is kind of going good, right? When finances are great, cool. When health is great, cool. When job situation's good, we can look and say, boy, we can declare from the housetop, boy, God is good, right? But when something happens, when health goes south, when finances go south, when, I don't know, whatever circumstances it could be, when it goes south, can we still make that same statement? We can, but how many of you know that now all of a sudden we're forced with, do we really believe it or not? And then if we do really believe it, let me just say this, it still doesn't answer the questions of why. But what it does is it gives us a foundation. Everybody say a foundation. In other words, that Jesus said, who hears these sayings of mine and does them. So if we can found our life, if we can put a foundation in our life, that there's some givens in place that are unalterable, they're not negotiable, they're not changeable. And I think the first one is that God is good. Amen? Of course, in this situation with my brother, I just have to tell you, it was very difficult real time for me to grieve as a brother. I had to write an obituary. I had to plan a funeral. I had 30 family members that were looking to me to come out and give reports and to pray and to do all this stuff. It wasn't just me as Lynn, just grieving over a brother that was dying and then eventually died. I had to be Mr. Preacher. I had to be Mr. Man of the Cloth. I had to be strong. I had to be whatever. And thank God for his grace to be able to do that. Very difficult, but I had from Sam family members that maybe their relationship with the Lord wasn't where we'd like it to be. Well, why would God do this? Right? Is that a valid question? It's a valid question to ask, depending upon your point of view of where you're coming from. If you believe that God is in control of everything, I mean everything, so that good that happens is at his control, bad that happens is also at his control. If you believe that, then it's a valid question. Okay? So then why did God do this? But if you come from the standpoint that God's good, and every good and perfect gift comes down from God, and if you believe that there's also another entity called the devil that's alive and well, and that there's groundwork that he has, then that question isn't quite as valid. In other words, it needs an asterisk at the end of it so that you can notate that, well, why did God do this? Well, maybe God didn't do it. I mean, that is an alternative answer, right? Maybe God didn't do it. And then people will get into a rationalization and will say, well, I know God didn't do it, but he allowed it. To say that God allowed it is almost identical to saying God did it. Because if God could have, if he allowed it, then that also means that he could have stopped it. And if he didn't stop it, are you with me? So we've got a 57-year-old guy, great career, great guy, little grandchildren, 6 and 4, and a wife and all of that. All of a sudden, poof, he's gone. Valid question. Why did this happen? These givens that we're going to talk about, that God's good, that get founded in our life, become the anchor to our soul. Amen? It's not going to always answer, why did this happen? I've buried children. And I don't believe in any stretch of the imagination that God killed those children. Okay? Not at all. And I don't believe, I'll just go on record, I don't believe that God stood back and just, well, go ahead. Right? Because the example gets used of Job. Well, okay, go ahead, devil, and go ahead and take him out. I'm not going to stop it. I don't believe that. Okay, I believe there's a whole other explanation. Okay? So God's good. I believe that wholeheartedly. Does that answer why my prayers, my brother's prayers, all the family's prayers of healing, of why it obviously didn't work? Does that answer all of those? No. But I know God's good. Amen? I know. There's not always an answer to why. So when these difficult things happen in our life, you've heard me say this before, go ahead and ask why. But let's just not camp in the valley of, right? Because we probably won't come up with a decent answer. Go to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. So what do we do in difficult times or in tough times? This scripture actually was kind of my brother's life scripture. We printed this in his, I don't know what you call that thing that you get when you come in, but there's three things let me talk about. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's say that together. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say it one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How many of you know God is trustworthy? How many of you know God's proved himself throughout the eons of time? He's trustworthy. Okay? Trust is different than faith. They're not synonymous. Okay? There's a dovetail, but they're not synonymous. Trust is, and I'm not going to go into that, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say all your heart. When you see that all your heart, especially in the Old Testament, do you know that that means with the core of your being? In other words, let me say it maybe just a modern way. With the deepest part of who you are, trust in the Lord. So that means that other things that take place around, peripheral, distractive things that take place, we develop this trust in God that just says, this is an unmovable in me. My trust is in the Lord. And when some of the praise and worship songs were being sung today, I have to just admit, my heart didn't necessarily resonate with some of those phrases. Other than to warm the inside of my deal that says, you know, Father, I'm shell-shocked here. And quite honestly, last night I cried out to the Lord when I was in the bathtub. I said, I don't know if I have anything to say that's worthy of people coming to even listen to. But then, here's what happens when you develop anchors in your life. It's amazing to me, the dynamic, is there's an unshakable trust in God that I do have that says, while I may not understand now, I either will never and don't need to, because I know God is good. Do you know what I mean? So, is my faith shaken? Somebody asked me this over the deal. My mom asked me, she said, honey, is your faith shaken? And I said, oh, Mom, not at all. Not at all. My faith in God is not shaken in any stretch of the imagination. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not on shaky grounds. You don't need to pray for me that I still stay saved. Okay. So that's because there's some things that I've placed in my life that says, you know what, God is good, and my trust, as for me and my house, we'll trust in the Lord. Amen? And lean not to your own understanding. Now, this kind of gets tricky right here. Lean not to your own understanding. How many of you know your own understanding is your own thinking? And our own thinking can have an agenda. Isn't that right? Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you don't have an agenda going on right now. Right? Our thinking can bring with it our ideas. Now, when I say this, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. His ways are not our ways. So in that, I'm not saying, so in his ways are not our ways, so God must have had a better purpose for my 57-year-old brother in heaven. I'm not saying that. Are you with me? I'm just saying that his ways aren't our ways, and that, you know what? There's a bigger picture here that if I'm not careful, I can get hung up in my own understanding. In fact, I've made the case to God, not in an angry way, but just in a cry out way. God, how incredible it would have been for my brother to have got off of that deathbed and preached a sermon. Wouldn't that have been incredible? Oh, dude, it would have been incredible. I've made that case to God. I said, you know what? You may have missed an opportunity here to really show your power to family members that maybe aren't walking real close with God. You missed a great opportunity, God, for my brother's folks that worked in his office that he was managed over. You kind of missed a great opportunity, I think, had he got off of that deathbed and walked out of there. I think they may have listened to what he had to say. Have you ever thought about that before? So God's heard all that in my cry. He's heard all that in my desperation of just reaching out to him, not in an accusing way, because I will not accuse God. Are you with me? So it just comes down to, all right, so this happened. It's happened. You know, I can't do anything. I guess that for me, probably that's the toughest thing in all of this, is just seemingly couldn't do anything. So lean not to your own understanding. So we have to get a rein on our thoughts. Everybody say our thoughts. And that's difficult, isn't it? Do you ever find yourself, the more you try to not think about something, the more you think about it? Isn't that crazy? So we have to get a rein on our thoughts. And I've, the last 10 days, I just tell you, I've just walked around shell-shocked. My sisters and I, a little over a month ago, I just felt like, and I don't know how to categorize all this. I really don't. I don't know how to put it in a theological framework. I don't know how to put the pieces of the puzzles together. But a little over a month ago, I just really felt impressed. I needed to go visit my brother. So I booked a ticket to Denver, didn't tell him, and I only told one of my sisters, because my other sister, if I'd have told her, she couldn't have kept it quiet. She's such a sweetheart, such a kind soul. I found out that she was on the way home from a trip in another state. She lives in Texas. She was on the way home and they were stopping in Denver. And I found out that she was just going to stop off and stay a few days. And I thought, she's going to be there. I'll be there. I called my other sister, the one that you guys know. Her name's Dixie. And I said, you know, Dix, I just feel like I need to go visit Larry. And she said, well, you know, that's odd. I'm going to be there tomorrow or whatever. And I figured, since Dan is going to come, I'm going to come too. I said, well, I'm going to be there, but just keep your mouth shut. So I showed up, knocked on my brother's door, and he was angry because he had just finished a long week of chemotherapy, and he wasn't really feeling really good, and he was just comfortable in his chair, and he was actually sleeping. And my other sister from Texas was sleeping too. And I just kept knocking on the door. So when he came to the door, he wasn't mad as in, who are you? It wasn't that. It's just that he was a little bit frustrated that he woke him up from a sleep. And when he opened the door, the look on his face, you know, you saw the furrowed brow. It's like, yeah. And I just stood there sipping a Coke. And I said, what are you doing, big brother? And he literally went like this. And then just teared up. And we had the best 3 days of us three family members. We just stayed up late and told stories on one another, and we laughed and we cried for 3 days together. So I look at all that and I think, wow. Somebody could say, well, you know, God knew he is going to die and that's why he moved upon you to do that. Well, maybe that's true. I don't know, but I know one thing. I sure cherish it. I mean, that 3 days together with just us three brothers and sisters, we didn't let our mom know. She was mad once she found out it all happened. But why didn't you have me come? And we just kind of, it's not that we wanted to exclude our mom. It's just that, you know, it was one of those deals that seriously, heaven bent low, kissed the earth, and we got caught in the middle of the smack. So how do you fit that all in? You know, I don't know, other than to say, I'm glad that all three of us really felt the nudging of the Lord, because that's what we believe it is. To see, I believe that God's involved in every aspect of our life. And he does know more than we do. And so did he know that my brother was going to die? Well, of course he did. God knows everything. Isn't that right? So how wonderful it is that he moved upon all of us to make that happen. Right? Little did we know that a month later, and that's what we were all just talking about, so we just can't believe a month ago we would be here. Go to the book of Psalms, chapter 4. Or sorry, let's finish verse 6 of chapter 3 in Proverbs. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Our own understanding will come up with conclusions to which we believe or we don't believe, to which we act upon or don't act upon. And when it says, lean not to your own understanding, that means that our understanding has to be in submission or subjection to God. Isn't that right? Because there's sometimes we think rightly. Isn't that right? There's sometimes our understanding is spot on. There's other times, though, that our understanding is not. Amen? So when it says lean not to your own understanding, that doesn't mean that we just become people that we don't think, that we don't think about things, because first of all, that's impossible. It just means that our own understanding is in subjection to God. It's in subjection to God's will. It's in subjection to what God's desire is. And so then it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And then there's a reward or there's a result and he shall direct your path. So the third thing is to always acknowledge the Lord. And this is over the last few days, it's been really, it's really the only thing. I'll just be honest with you. It's the only thing that I just come to and just begin to thank God for all the great things that God's done. Amen. All the little things. I would have never wanted to do what I did the last week. Very, very difficult in every way. Just in, from finances to help my sister a lot out with finances of how we're going to, all right, where are things now? She had no clue where any of his had no clue where to look for what policy numbers and all that. And I said, well, you know, I know my brother. And if you'll let me on his computer, I think I can find a few things. So I got on his computer and I just prayed. I said, God, just help me. Because I know kind of how my brother would think. And sure enough, it, in 5 minutes, found all of that information out. So I looked at that and it says, you know, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So listen, in the midst of difficulty, we can concentrate on what didn't happen, why we're frustrated, why we are hurt, whatever the negative side, we can concentrate there. Or we can choose to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And so right then, I just thought, you know what? I want to help create this for my brother's family as well. I said, you know, isn't it wonderful how God came through for us to find in this difficult situation all of the passwords to all of the accounts, to policy numbers, to whatever. Isn't it wonderful that we found that so quickly? Now, we could spend our attention on, I just can't believe we have to look for these things. I can't believe that he's not here. I can't believe this, that, or the other. I can't believe whatever. And you know what? What will that do? That will just stir up the mud. That will just stir up the hurt. That will just stir up the grief. That will just stir up the anger in whatever situation it may be. Instead, you know what? In all our ways, acknowledge him. Little things of, we need to find chairs, and we had our service out beside a lake, and they were doing construction, and we went and talked to the construction workers and asked if they would mind if they could stop their construction for just a little bit. We went to a lake, and they were building a pier, and they were so gracious, and I just thought, you know what? I'm going to do this deal in all your ways. Lord, thank you for the kindness of these contractors to lay aside things for 2 hours. Just every little thing along the way. And what does that do? That helps remind us of the foundation. That helps us remind us of the anchor. That God really is at work in our lives. He really is. Amen? It just, everything that at first they couldn't get a death certificate filled out. Something was taking place on the weekend and a doctor had a power struggle that, you know, whatever, and he didn't want to sign. And I mean, you know, you can't, a widow can't do anything with a bank account without a death certificate, right? can't get any of this. And I said, well, you know, Annette, let's just pray. God knows that. Now, we could just concentrate on why we even have to have a death certificate. God, if you'd have come through, he'd have lived. We could just stay there, or we could start taking steps and just keeping our steps and keeping our face towards God and say, okay, God, can you help us get a hold of who, whatever we need to do? You know what? We made a phone call to the attending doctor, and he just says, oh, I'm so sorry that that happened, because they signed some other doctor. And said, listen, you come right up here. We'll get it signed instantly. We went right up there, went right to the hospital. There he was. He signed it. He cried with us and got that done. And there you go. Now all of us. And I said, isn't it wonderful how God's come through? Right? So even in the midst of, while we're dealing with the, you know, it might be a situation where you're angry, or you're just depressed, or you're hurt, or whatever it may be, or you're just, your head's just blown. I can't believe I even have to deal with it. Whatever. You know what? Start right away. Any little thing that you can take to God, any little thing that can happen, boom, let's get it done. Let's go before God and then stand back and watch the faithfulness of God at work. So I can say this. In the midst of the incredible hurt, I feel like in many ways, honestly, I'm just starting to grieve as a brother. Not as Reverend Lynn J. Shaw, but just as a brother. That has no special whatever attached to it. You know what? Whenever I go to God in all of these little things and planning these deals and getting chairs and getting to the place, man, I hope we can get chairs on this day and da 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 da. Just every little thing, I'm telling you what, it just felt like clockwork. Just like clockwork. And I thought, you know what? God's at work. So know this, you're not alone. You're not alone in the middle of your hurt. In the middle of your anger, in the middle of your confusion of what we do we do now? I've had multiple conversations on some days with my sister-in-law. I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do here. Can you help me here? I don't know what to do here. They're telling me this. And you know what? Each time, I just choose. In all our ways, we're going to acknowledge him. Okay, Annette, let's take that before the Lord. Let's focus on that one thing. Let's take that before the Lord. And you know what? God is so good. Everything that we've taken before the Lord, it's just fell in place. So, what is that? That's a confirmation that God hasn't forgot your address. So if you're here this morning and you're hurt, or you find yourself in a situation, maybe not this, whatever situation you're finding yourself in that's causing questions, you know, does God know where I live or all that? I'm going to tell you something. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then look at the reward. And he shall direct your paths. In other words, putting an anchor of trust in God. Choosing to keep our mind in the right spot, leaning not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledging him. Then look at this. He shall direct your path. That means that your future has God in it. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. Psalms 4. I was reading this last week, and I just thought if there was ever a psalm written that in some ways, there's a couple of the verses that don't necessarily speak directly, but I just thought, this is it. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You've relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and don't sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Listen, in the midst of hurt, the psalmist at this stage is talking about our cry of desperation to the Lord, our cry of hurt to the Lord, knowing that God will hear us. But then look what he says. I love verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. So I'm kind of, you know, there's three things that we talked about in Proverbs, but the first thing I said is determine that God is good. The second thing is do what's right. Everybody say do what's right.
Do what's right.
Okay. Whether you feel like it, whether it's a warm fuzzy to you or not, do what's right. Here he says in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. There's times I've told my sister-in-law, I said, Annette, I just can't imagine what you're going through. But one thing that I'm going to always be putting before you is that whenever you wake up in the morning, determine that today you're going to take a step forward. It could be a little step, it could be a huge step, but just determine you're going to take a step forward. We need to offer the sacrifices of righteousness. That means, for me, that we got to do what is right. And there's many times doing what is right is sacrificial. So that means in the midst of your hurt, how many of you know we still pray? And there's times that your prayer may not have all the warm fuzzies associated with it, right? There's times that your prayers aren't necessarily out of a full confidence in this, that, or the other. But you know what? I'm still going to pray every day. I'm still going to worship God every day. I'm still going to pull out the Word of God every day. Amen? I'm not going to stop those things. Because you see, a lot of times when tough things happen to good people, to godly people, to people who love the Lord, when tough things happen, we usually, typically, will shut down on the communication side to God. And the reason why we do is we don't understand. We're a little torqued. We're a little hurt. Maybe we're mad. Maybe whatever it may be, you know, whatever. We're depressed because of, you know, whatever. And we stop the communication to God. When we stop the communication to God, listen, that fellowship, that stuff that happens when you communicate with God stops. And when that happens, you know what we've just done? We've exacerbated the problem. We've now ramped the problem up greater than the solution. Or greater than the help, or greater than the help of the Holy Spirit. I've been so thankful in all of this. Let me tell you what, I have to admit, I'm going to be real honest with you. When I watch my brother's heartbeat just like clockwork, I've never ever seen that happen. I've been with multiple people when they've passed on. I've never seen it like this ever. But I had a few thoughts. God, why? Why didn't he get off of this bed? But you know what you have to do? You have to very quickly lean not to your own understanding. And right then, when those thoughts happen, it's not that I ignored those thoughts. But listen, I answered those thoughts with what I knew to be true about God. Amen? I answered them with what I knew to be true about God. So, part of the answer is, Lord, I don't understand why, but I know this. I know who you are. You're good. You're faithful. And I just didn't begin to think, you know what, Lord? I know that in the midst of us now as a family walking through all of this, we are going to stand by and see the faithfulness and the provision of God in ways we never dreamed of. Right? Or we can just camp in, I can't believe this happened. I just don't understand. We could camp there for a long time, and guess what? All that'll happen is that the mud hole will just get bigger and more rotten. There are many who say, I'm in verse 5, let me finish the last thing. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. In other words, I'm just going to tell you this. I'm banking everything I am and everything I have in God. Amen? Everything I have. And I just know that God is faithful to His Word. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You've put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I like verse 8. I will both lay down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I have to be honest with you. When I lay down for the last several days. It hasn't been that. I've watched my brother's death at least 1,000 times. And that conjures up all the feelings of helplessness. But you know what? That is my promise. Amen? That is my promise. I will lay down in peace, knowing that I dwell in the safety of the Lord. Thank God for that. Amen? God is so good. Well, let's just stop.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.